Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
It's time for a quickie.
Podcast One presents The Lady Gang, the Hollywood girl posse, with Lady Gang Quickie. Here's Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Let's make this quick.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The Lady Gang Quickie.
Jack's trying on her slippers
trying on slippers with bunnies on them.
They're so cute.
That was so funny. So one of our sponsors, ModCloth, was like, hey, here's like a little gift certificate. Get whatever you want. And the difference between what Becca Tobin ordered and what Jack Vanek ordered are amazing. Why don't you just say?
I ordered those.
These really cute shoes.
What's the actual word for these? Horchata? No, that's an actual. What is it?
Huarache.
Like a shoe, a sandal.
A really beautiful, like chic, like fashion blogger shoe. And Jack ordered.
I ordered lamb slippers.
And?
What?
A cactus pencil holder.
Oh, and a cactus pencil holder.
I like, yeah.
I mean, it was so funny when you put in the order. I was like.
She's like a 13-year-old girl.
I'm going to use it for my bathroom to like hold my Q-tips or something in.
So fun.
Point. I mean, yeah. I don't know what to say about that.
I think I win because those are the comfiest slippers I've ever put on my feet.
Mine don't fit me. So
I do win.
You do win. I like that I call them a horchata because that's the,
that's the drink.
I love. Do we have a quote?
Yes, we do. Of course we do.
Mirror message?
5,000 quotes Kelty has ready.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I actually had to, I had one, deleted it, put this one in instead because it was in a book I read yesterday. And I was like, oh, this one's better. So now I have a backup quote.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. I don't actually think you're going to agree with this, but if women, this is from Gloria Steinem. She said, if women could sleep their way to the top, there would be a, wait, three, two. Wait, no, no, come
we're
stop
not,
it.
We're not going to cut this out.
Amazing. Oh my God. Sorry.
Okay, she's short circuiting.
You're literally short circuiting.
No, can I tell you something, like, to be really honest right now? I have had a migraine for 3 weeks.
Get some medicine.
You should take some Botox.
I know. I feel like I need to go to the doctor, but I did just start on a new vitamin regime, and I was thinking like.
Regimen? Thank God for Elena.
Regime?
The thing about Elena, when she corrects me, she does it so cunty. Like, she isn't like, hey, Kelty, it's regimen. She just goes, regimen, like it looks
like
at
you're
me
literally
like
the biggest idiot in the world.
Anyway, I just started
a vitamin,
new
regime. Jesus Christ! You fuck up words, you do it in like the funniest, worst way possible too. Like it's always like the worst way that you could like mess something up.
I know. Anyway, so I'm thinking first, and then I looked it up and. I looked up all the different symptoms. Anyway, I will go to the doctor eventually, but I think it's just stress. And also, I did some stretching this weekend. I think I haven't been stretching enough, and I have bad posture. So anyway.
Have you gotten Botox for your migraines?
No. I never got migraines before.
I know, but you know you can get Botox for it.
I don't think what you have right now is a migraine. A migraine is a debilitating, like, you can't.
Double vision,
well, sometimes
puking.
I have to lay. Yeah, it's maybe, it's just, but it's in the
a
same
bad
spot.
Headache.
A bad headache forever. So I tried to drink more water. I tried to whatever.
I'm glad you're drinking Diet Coke right now.
This is an iced tea.
Okay.
Is it sweetened?
No. Mm. No. Anyway. Okay. I'm ready.
What's the quote?
Three, yeah, two.
Oh, no, my God.
Okay. If women could sleep their way to the top. I'm reading it with candor, Elena.
No, I think you're reading it. You're getting confused.
This is like listening to Jack read the questions.
Without glasses.
Or just regular. Okay. Three, two. If women could sleep their way to the top, there would be way more women at the top.
I'm sorry, Gloria.
I mean, some women do.
I'm not saying... Okay. Here's what
Becca Tobin.
She needs a thought.
I don't think women necessarily are... They get up in the morning and say, today I'm going to sleep to the top. However, women in general are attracted to power. So there's nothing wrong with having sex with a powerful man, and there's maybe questionable things that happen after if she gets like a promotion or special treatment. I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole, but I know a lot of women who have slept to the top. The difference is that sometimes you think you're sleeping to the top, but it gets you nowhere. Mm-hmm. So the intention, I'm not saying, and again, it's not bad. Like, I am somebody who has had sex with somebody because they were powerful, and that's like a turn on. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't thinking in the
doing
back
it
of
for
my,
a job or something,
right? So sometimes it just happens like that. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's kind of bullshit. I think that.
I don't know if that's really an inspiring quote.
It's not really inspiring.
I know. Honestly, it sounded better at like 11 o'clock at night when I was like reading it to myself. I was like, oh, yeah, I took a picture of my book. And I was like, oh, I got to put this in the Lady Gang.
Should have looked at
it
before we started the podcast.
And I don't know. I let you guys down this week.
I don't know what she means. Does she mean that women are not sleeping their way to the top or that it's not possible to sleep their way?
Yeah, or like, yeah, whatever. Not as many as you think are, because if they could, there would be more women at the top.
So that's kind of a dig at women then.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't really make sense. Yeah, because, is it sleeping your way to the top isn't working? Or no women are actually doing
us anything after we sleep with them?
Yeah. Or... I think that's what she... Anyway. Okay.
Anyways, that's it.
Well,
know.
Listen, so, you know, how many episodes have we done now? Usually, I'm on point with my quote.
It's okay.
A small fail.
You got our wheels turning. What are we grateful for?
Wait, no. Oh, gratitude circle.
Oh, we're doing gratitude circle.
Yeah, yes. Gratitude circle this week. Jack's unprepared.
No, I'm not. I'm prepared. I'll go first.
Oh.
I got sick this weekend. It's the second time I've gotten sick in 1 month. I'm so freaking pissed off about it. Like, the flu twice.
Do you think it could be that you're chugging drinks all weekend?
Possibly.
Okay.
No, actually, it's... So both times I've gotten sick, literally the hour that I've gotten home from a trip that, like... When I was in
traveling,
Switzerland,
yeah.
I wasn't
Airplane.
Sleeping because I was jet lagged in New York.
You're also, like, not giving yourself a chance to, like, rest.
You don't do self-care
she
Sunday.
She doesn't, no.
You do cornhole Sunday.
Yeah, I do Sunday
day,
fun day.
Day drink. Yeah. Sunday fun day.
Yeah. Maybe.
Love a Sunday
You need
fun
self-care
you could
Sunday.
Do self-care Sunday.
I get so bored. I can't do... I do self-care Monday sometimes. Mm. Anyways.
What a luxury.
What?
But that you don't have, Becca. Okay,
so... I'm whoring myself around this... town trying to get a job, okay? I can't be giving myself a mask on a Monday.
Self-care Monday. Okay, anyways, I'm grateful for my parents living so close to me because Aww. Both times I've gotten sick, I've just gone down to my parents
so
and
nice.
Acted like I was 15 years old and they've Ugh. Taken care of me. My mom's made me soup. My dad did my laundry. It's just so nice when you're feeling like garbage and you can't do anything to actually, and you don't have a husband or a boyfriend to take care of you,
yeah.
that your parents just, I mean, it just is the best comforting thing in the world.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. Joe.
What are you grateful
oh,
for?
Oh man. Ooh.
Well, I know, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
yeah. Who's not prepared
we
now?
We don't
Kelsey?
Talk about
Me.
Politics, religion, or.
That's about it.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Basically feet. Oh no, we don't talk
Ugh.
About
it. Yeah. But I want to say that this might not be timely, but in general, I'm very grateful for the generation of kids right now
yeah,
who are
cool.
fighting about gun laws.
Yeah.
Because I think up until this point, I kind of was a little hard on the generations below us, as everyone is, I think. Like, it's just normal to, like, whatever, yeah. resent
These
the generation.
These crazy kids.
Yeah, they don't know. They're on their phones.
Yeah.
And I actually had moments where I didn't know if I wanted to have kids because I don't know what kind of world they're going to be entering into, because I certainly hate that I scroll on Instagram for 30 minutes
right.
a day. Like, that grosses me
and
out.
How much worse is it going to be?
And so this whole movement with all these kids is just super inspiring. And I don't think that it's a generational thing. I think that it's restored my faith in humanity and people willing to speak out and do the right thing.
It's pretty cool because there's been so many celebrities. Like, do you remember when the shooting happened at Amy Schumer's Trainwreck movie theater? Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Like,
I didn't
this
know
guy,
that was Trainwreck.
Yeah. So it was at a theater.
Oh,
I can't
remember that,
Denver
yeah.
or something. And it was a theater. And the guy went in and shot up the theater. And then Amy Schumer got, like, and this was when, like, Amy Schumer was hot in Hollywood. And she started a whole thing and spoke, and, like, nothing really changed. And it's what's cool to watch is these kids
mm-hmm.
are, like, making
well,
this
Well, it's the
change.
Parkland kids, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it's that awesome. Even some of the celebrities couldn't. And usually that stuff comes from celebrities.
Well,
so cool.
Yeah, and I'm actually, like, pleasantly shocked with that, too, because it's, like, sadly, how many school shootings have we had? And it's just, it's to the point where you see something and it doesn't even shock you anymore because
yeah.
it's just
yeah.
like, oh, another shooting. 2 months later, another shooting.
Yeah.
And you don't think that anything is actually going to change or happen. And it's so, so sad. But it is so nice to see that that tragedy has inspired such a huge movement mm-hmm. of kids that like
care.
They care, care and they think like everybody is kind of just like let it go by the wayside because it's like, what can we do to change it? And you're just like, it's going to just go along as it yeah. is because the NRA is so tied into the government and so fucked up. But that is so wonderful to see because these kids are like, we can make a change. And it's going to be the generation that does because they think that they can.
Well, also, cool. I think growing up, I don't think I believed that. I didn't have, like, the belief that anybody's voices really did make a difference. I don't think that because there's a lot of noise out there and there's a lot of, like, bullshit noise. And especially mm-hmm. in Hollywood, sometimes you're like, settle down, mm-hmm. you know, especially around elections. Either side, it's like, it's a lot of noise and you don't really, nothing really like penetrates in mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And so I was always very much like, I don't want to add to the noise because it doesn't get heard if it's a million voices. And mm-hmm. I think now this is such a poignant fact that you can be heard. It's the delivery and it's mm-hmm. your dedication. These kids are, they're not going away.
Well, and it's power in numbers of people actually showing up and actually giving a shit yeah. and actually making change. Yeah. I love it.
I love it too. I'm going to be a little bit vain in mine. That was a serious
perfect.
One.
Perfect.
I am very thankful for my hummingbird feeders.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Spencer.
No, I know this sounds crazy, but I've been very lonely since Hobo died, and I've tried out to go and maybe see about getting dogs, but then I, like, cried, and I'm like, I'm not ready for a new animal in my life yet. But one of our lady gangers, my Secret Santa, actually, sent me a hummingbird feeder for the holidays. Mm. And I had it away. When my dad was in town, he set them up. And then I ended up ordering another one and then got another one at the store. So now I have three. And so I have one when I lay in bed, I wake up in the morning, it's like directly out my window and I can see all the hummers like flying around. And then in my kitchen table, I have two right directly out of my kitchen table. And the other day I had an hour off and there was like a little bit of sun in my backyard and I just sat on my chair drinking my tea and watched the hummingbirds and like Becca's eyes have glazed over because she's so bored at this story. But I'm just very thankful for them. I'm sorry. I think it's very beautiful and they come and they love my nectar and they're like my little buddies.
They love my nectar? Sounds like some sexual thing.
They have all little like heads.
My lady
like,
nectar. I'm so freaked out by birds. You don't even know.
No, but hummingbirds you don't have to be freaked
yeah,
out of.
They move so quickly.
What if hummingbirds were big? Like, what if they were, like, 2 feet big and they're just, like,
are you high?
No.
No, that would be
maybe like residual from last night.
But what's cool is when you go up close to the hummingbirds, I mean, your eyes are already glazed over. I'm not even looking over at you. Is that they're also different.
I like how you, like it's not like me and Becca are literally sitting in the same position with the same glazed
look
on.
No, her eyes were, she was glazed. You were actually still listening. But, like,
I wasn't listening, I was just looking at you.
I have one named Lola and her little head is red. And then I have brown ones and babies. And anyway, I'm very excited about it.
That's cool.
Okay, cool.
That's nice.
Cool story, bro.
All right, should we move
when
on?
When we come back, what's in our box?
What's in our box?
Don't shake it too hard. What's in the Lady Gang box?
What's in the box?
First topic in our box, Hollywood heartbreaks that destroyed you.
Everyone.
Life. Right now, when Becca's eyes glazed over during my hummingbird story.
Right now, just this moment.
Hollywood heartbreak of boredom.
I have a really good one, if you guys want me to go before you.
Yeah, you can go.
Okay. I was up to host, Elena, I don't know if you were working with me yet. Okay, there was a show on VH1 called Naked Dating.
Oh my God, yes.
Do you remember the show?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And I remember your thing.
We were doing Lady Gang then?
We had just started, I think.
Okay, so.
Oh.
I had to meet, yeah. I met with the production company and the guy, who I think has died since, was like, you're our girl.
Jesus
we want you for Naked Dating. And I was like, okay. And they made me watch it. And they were like, no, it's you. Like, we love this so much. And my agents were all like, yeah, you're going to get your own show. It's amazing. It's amazing. And then I went into the audition and like, I couldn't have bombed the audition. I think I've talked about this before, but I couldn't have bombed the audition worse. And like, I got in to my car after my audition and my agent called me with like sad agent. I've since fired this agent, BS.
Agent voice?
Yeah. And you know, like when your agent calls, they're like, Kelty! Or they're like, Kelty. And you know if you got the job or not. Uh-huh. And he called me sad agent and he's like, all he said was, what did you do?
Oh no.
And I was like, oh my God. So I screwed up the audition so bad. They tried to salvage it by having me go in and meet with like all the executives there. And I went to the meeting and I thought I was fine. I walked out of the meeting. Again, sad agent was like, they don't think you're a star. Anyway, so I didn't get
to repeat that.
Yeah, well, that's why he's fired. But and it was a man.
Jesus.
And so here was the heartbreaking thing. It was like the first time I was up to host my own show. There's been many heartbreaks since, but I was so excited and I really thought like, this is it. This is my calling. This is what's going to make me Kat Dealey, like naked dating. And my whole brain got so skewed by like, this is so important. And my lawyer, Carolyn, was like, you don't need this job. This is not the right thing for you. Like, this is a blessing in disguise. But I was so upset about it. And I cried for like 3 days. And I went on a trip to Mexico with Chris. And I have our little travel journal that I always like write in. And the whole thing is just me like talking about how disappointed I was in myself. And I could ruin the whole trip by this. Anyway, so the girl that got it was, I think, this girl named Amy. And we've been up for a lot of the things together. And then the heartbreak was when they like announced it and it went in all the trades. It was like her photo. She's like named the host and mm-hmm. like all the promo. And anyway.
Was it successful?
It ran for like 2 seasons. But I do want to say it could have been more successful if you hired me. I look great naked. I would have hosted
Wait,
the whole
thing
naked.
Did you have to be naked hosting?
No. Oh. You were clothed, but I think it would have been way more funny if the host was naked.
Oh, that would
have
been hilarious.
I'm really glad you didn't get that job.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But you never know why.
I, like, honestly don't even know if I would have known what that show was if you hadn't talked about it that one time.
I know. It came in.
What channel was it on?
VH1.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well.
It was big when nakedness was a thing.
Nudity.
Many years ago. Anyway. Okay.
Naked and Afraid. Yeah. Love that show.
I actually think my hardest Hollywood heartbreak wasn't in Hollywood. I think it was, granted, I've had plenty of those, but I think mine was a Broadway heartache. I got my Broadway show, my first Broadway show, and it was Rock of Ages on Broadway, and they hired me to be the swing, which is essentially the person in the ensemble who has to learn every single ensemble member's track. So that if those people call out, you jump in. It's actually one of the hardest jobs
yeah.
on Broadway.
Yeah, it's like the most important.
Jesus.
And also when I was hired, there was talk of me taking over as the permanent understudy for the lead.
Oh, wow.
Which was super exciting and great and whatever. So I went in and I started the swing position and I learned all the lead stuff because I was still covering it at that moment. It wasn't like an official thing. Mm-hmm. And so I was learning the whole like lead Broadway track and I was like, holy shit, I'm learning a lead role on Broadway. Like I could very well
be in coach
and do this.
If somebody gets poisoned.
Yeah. And so or just diarrhea.
Okay. Crime Jack. Yeah.
The producers hired me. I think it was 7 days of rehearsal on my own to learn every track.
Whoa.
To learn like basically the whole show.
Jesus.
And multiple roles with the choreographer. So when you go in as a replacement on Broadway, you don't have rehearsals with the whole cast. You have to imagine where everybody is on stage. It's super...
Wait, why do they even have that job instead of... Because then they don't want so many understudies
yeah,
for everybody?
Yeah, because then you can have one understudy for the ensemble.
Like, okay.
And then, yeah. So I learned the whole show, and I was 23 years old, and I went on for my first night. Like, the first night, and I played this, like, one role that was, like, a featured ensemble role. You sing, you whatever... And I had never been on stage with everybody at once. And you're all dancing around each other and you're just trying to not hit somebody.
Right.
And our producers came to the show, to my first show. And I was like timid. I was just trying to like not
get through it.
And I definitely, the difference between that show and like 5 shows later is like a completely different person.
Right.
But this one asshole producer came to the show and he's like, she doesn't have it. Whatever it is, she doesn't have what it takes. So I suddenly got basically the whole like permanent position was stripped away. He decided I just didn't have like the star power or the confidence to play like the leading role.
On your first show
on my
ever?
Broadway debut, my first show. I didn't have rehearsals. I didn't have a dress rehearsal. I had nothing. I was thrown out there like whatever.
Like a lamb at slaughter.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I was like, I was nervous.
Of course.
And so I remember finding out later, and I had to do a week of that track, and I found out like halfway through or something that they were auditioning again. They went back to the drawing board and they went back and they found another girl. And I still had to stay in the show and understudy like the ensemble roles, but like that I was like the fifth person in line to then cover the lead.
Right.
And I just remember being like to not and after that it's like to not give somebody the benefit of the doubt on their first day of anything. It's and like to make
did, and
the
did
judgment.
He know that was like
yeah. Yeah,
that's
but he's
so messed up.
A moron. He's just a rich guy with a lot of money
right.
who doesn't understand how f-ing hard that is.
Right.
And so from that point on, I was just like, it's true. Like, I'll never judge anybody on their first time doing anything.
You can't.
You, like, whether
versus
it's being,
people that have been practicing for f-ing God knows long.
And then, like, my first day on set of Glee, oh, my God, I was a train wreck. Like, that's just normal. Like, you have to, unless you're an alien, I think that that's what it is. So that was my heartbreak. It was devastating.
That's terrible.
And then it kind of, like, sours your whole experience.
My
entire
experience was pretty terrible after that.
Why do people have to be such assholes?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be such a jerk.
Uh-huh.
Okay, mine's not obviously a Hollywood heartbreak, but I kind of talked about this in, like, one of our last episodes of wanting to, like, grow a business small, and, like, I've gone through, like, so many ups and downs of trying to trust people that are around me and listening to their advice. And there was a time in my business where I had a consultant slash manager type of person that was older than me that I had working for me that I really trusted and, like, used as an advisor for how to grow my business. And it's really easy for somebody to tell you what to do with your money. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, so easy to be like, you should put, you know, $100,000 in this and this and this and this. Mm-hmm. And, like, your business will explode.
Yeah.
So I was at a point where I had a bunch of, like, kind of yes men around me and, like, you know, really, like, blowing smoke up my ass, like, telling me my brand was going to be the next huge, like, fashion brand. And they had me making a bunch of, like, cut-and-sew garments. So I was making dresses out of all this fabric.
Oh, yeah.
Ordering, like, thousands and thousands of pieces with, like, no purchase orders whatsoever.
God.
And in my mind, I'm like, they're like, you know, we're planning all these photo shoots. I'm spending all this money on PR. And it's going to be this huge thing. Obviously, it didn't happen. It ended up, the whole situation of this, like, crashed and burned. I was left with thousands of pieces of merchandise that don't sell because my brand is not a fashion brand. I'm, like, a very, like, quick graphics brand, and I did not understand that. So there was, like, a time where I thought that I, like, completely, like, drove my own brand into the ground because I was listening to these people give me this, like, shitty advice that was not applicable to my brand, like, whatsoever. So, I mean, it's hard when, like, you know, you see all these checks coming in and then they're going straight back out and then you don't see anything coming from it. Like, it's like a literal, you're throwing money into, like,
a well.
Yeah. And seeing nothing. So I think that was a point for me because it's like I thought that I was going to have to start over and I had, like, no savings from it and would have to just, like, close shop and figure something else out.
What do you even do when you are Jack Vanek after, like, Jack Vanek?
No,
it doesn't work.
I'm like, you don't want to get a job.
Thank God it worked.
Yeah.
Thank God you're so successful, Jack.
It's a nightmare.
Okay, well, we're actually out of time. We only got through one because we kind of were long-winded, but I love that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, hey, guys, make sure you enjoy. Wait, did you enjoy our cookie? I think you did.
Is that now or?
No, I don't know. Follow us on social media. Listen, go to our website, sign up for our newsletter. It's the most important thing. But also go to the Lady Gang Instagram because it's really cute. It's well curated. I think you'll get lots of repostable information. It's at the Lady Gang. And comment on our last photo because if you do, we're going to be sending some people gift bags because we reward you for liking us. Follow at Becca, at Kelty, and at Jack Vanek. And I guess we'll see you later. And...
We're not here for a long time.
We're here for a good time. Bye!
That escalated quickly.
Thanks for joining us on Lady Gang Quickie. Check out new episodes of Lady Gang every Tuesday and more quickies every other Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.